Well, now, I think I told you before that at the theological college where I trained, when you stood up to preach, there was a Bible text on the pulpit facing the preacher that only the preacher could see. Anyone remember what it says? It's John chapter 12, verse 21, which of course you know well. It says, "Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus." A helpful reminder to the preacher about what we want him to do. You know, don't just tell us a few jokes or your best stories or give us your review of the week's newspapers. Preacher, go on about the good news of Jesus. Proclaim and present Jesus to us. Show us him. That's what we need. It's what we ought to want. Do you want to see Jesus? I hope you do. Do you know it's Jesus whom you really need? I don't know how you came into church today, but in some way, Jesus is the answer to all our deepest needs. Or perhaps, like Zacchaeus in our gospel reading, I imagine he was a step or two back from being wholeheartedly convinced and committed to Jesus. Maybe you've heard something about Jesus and you're curious about him. Well, if that's you, you are very welcome here every Sunday. We would love to help to introduce you to Jesus. Do ask your questions about him. You can meet him in the pages of Scripture. I guess, like most people, I have to do a certain amount in my job that doesn't always fill me with absolute joy. But I would love to hear from people who would like to get to know Jesus. So if that's you, do speak to me or phone me or email me. Do you want to see Jesus? For whatever reason, verse 3, Zacchaeus did. You know, likely he heard about the miracles and Jesus' extraordinary teaching, and the word was that Jesus was heading that way. So it was Zacchaeus' big chance. But of course, as we famously know from Sunday school, there was a problem. Zacchaeus was a very short man. And because of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus. Immensely frustrating. Was he going to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime? But little Zacchaeus has a cunning plan. Verse 4. He runs ahead and climbs the sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus is coming that way. Zacchaeus was really keen and determined to see Jesus. He ran and climbed a tree in full view of everything. Not a very dignified thing for this wealthy and important chief tax collector to do. Particularly in those days and in that culture, apparently men of status were not given to running. Remember the father in the parable of the lost son runs to meet his son. That's meant to be a surprise to us. It is a rule, perhaps, from which we could all learn. Gentlemen of a certain age might do well to walk calmly, not to run and to climb trees. And I don't know how you would feel about doing that. I'm not sure that I could scramble up a sycamore fig tree, even if I wanted to, no matter who was coming. But Zacchaeus, he throws caution to the winds. All he cares about is getting to see Jesus, and he's willing to do what it takes. Do you care about seeing Jesus, like Zacchaeus did? Is it a real priority in your life to know Jesus? Are you willing to make an effort and be inconvenienced for it, perhaps to risk embarrassment to do so? No doubt there are many other things you could be doing on a Sunday morning, but well done for prioritising being here. That is the right thing to do. Perhaps it all means setting your alarm clock a bit earlier, or getting your Bible out on the train. Seeing Jesus really matters. Let's pray for a new desire and determination to see him. Let's pray that God would open our eyes afresh to Jesus in the scriptures. Why not resolve to make sure that you open your Bible between now and next Sunday and seek to meet with Jesus? It would be great to do that briefly most days. Maybe to get some Bible reading notes or come to a midweek group. Meeting Jesus, seeing him in the scriptures, really matters. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but more importantly, and surprisingly perhaps, outrageously to some, Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. Jesus knows him and calls him by name. Yes, Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, but really it turns out that Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And there's a hint of that in verse 1. Jesus is entering Jericho. Now Jesus, you know, is a version of the name Joshua. It means the Lord saves. And every schoolboy knows about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Remember those walls which came tumbling down? Judgment came on Jericho, and it was a great victory for God's people. But remember, salvation also came to Jericho that day. That's the connection with our Old Testament reading. A morally disreputable individual in Jericho saved. Rahab the prostitute, who dared to throw in her lot with the people of God. She took those sent by the Lord into her house, and Joshua ensures that she's saved. Well, Jesus is the new Joshua, and Zacchaeus is a kind of new Rahab. He too is morally disreputable. Remember that tax collectors collaborated with the hated occupying Roman army. Quite possibly they were ritually unclean. More often than not, they were corrupt. And Zacchaeus admits that in verse 8, when he promises to pay back everything he's cheated everybody out of. Likely he was something of a social pariah. He might have been powerful and wealthy, but I imagine he had few friends. Maybe the only people who would be seen dead with Zacchaeus were the other tax collectors. And who knows how much they enjoyed hanging out with their boss, who probably was ripping them off too, you know, taking a percentage of everything they collected, and so on. No wonder no one would make way for Zacchaeus. They didn't usher him kindly to the front of the crowd so that he could see. I imagine he was used to being excluded. But Jesus sought him out. Jesus is a new and better Joshua. He's come on a rescue mission to save. And it includes the morally disreputable individual. Jesus will defeat God's enemies and triumph for God's people. He will bring all who trust in him into the promised land of heaven and the new creation and give them lasting peace and security and blessing. This is for the Zacchaeuses of this world, those who've done wrong and whom no one else cares about. Jesus came for tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. They always get a welcome from him. It's the religious hypocrites and the holier-than-thou brigade who get it in the neck from Jesus. In verse 7, like the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the people love to grumble, mutter, and complain. Never guess what? Jesus has gotten to be the guest of a sinner. That dreadful old Zacchaeus, apologies to Nicodemus. But Jesus says, yes, that's right. I know all about Zacchaeus and his wicked ways, but verse 5, I must stay at your house today. Why? Not because anyone forces him to, or because Zacchaeus has got the only spare bedroom in town or anything like that. No, Jesus says, I must go and eat with Zacchaeus, because that is why I've come. That's my mission and purpose. Look at the principle which Jesus sets out in verse 10. For because the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, came to seek and save the lost. I came for the lost. Zacchaeus is a lost sheep, and Jesus the shepherd means to bring him back. Zacchaeus is a prodigal son of Abraham, and Jesus means to bring him home. Zacchaeus was a lost coin who everybody else thought was worthless. But to Jesus, he's a treasure, a son of Abraham, a person made in the image of God and of infinite value. Everyone else wishes that Zacchaeus would get lost, but Jesus longs for him to be found, and he finds him, and it's a matter of rejoicing. Soon Jesus will be lifted up on a different tree that he might save the lost. This passage is really a flashback to another story of a tax collector which Luke told. Levi, almost certainly Matthew, the gospel writer, Luke chapter 5. There too Jesus ate with tax collectors, and people complained that he kept the company of sinners. And Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call righteous people, but sinners to repentance. Not, of course, that there are really any righteous, healthy people who are fine without Jesus. Rather, like Levi and Zacchaeus, and anyone else who is going to be a follower of Jesus, we need to recognise that we are sin sick. We need Jesus to make us well. We need to be like that tax collector from last week who prays, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Or like the blind beggar in the passage immediately before our own. Look at chapter 18 and verse 39. He cried out to Jesus, Son of David, I know you're the long-promised Messiah. Have mercy on me. Like this little man, Zacchaeus, we must be like the little children of chapter 18 and verse 17. So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, verse 5, come down immediately. And at once he comes down. Zacchaeus, this unlikely disciple, is in fact an exemplary convert. He welcomes Jesus gladly. I wonder if it was rather uncomfortable and humiliating from Zacchaeus to climb down that tree in front of everyone. But he seems to have forgotten about that completely. Perhaps all his life he'd been a short man with a Napoleon complex. Maybe he'd always been overcompensating. Zacchaeus exalts himself up a tree. Perhaps all his life he'd felt he had to push his way forward and puff himself up. Maybe he stood on his status and his wealth and threw his weight around. Jesus says to him, come down. Just across the page in chapter 18, in that parable of the tax collector, Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And Jesus does indeed honour and exalt Zacchaeus. He goes and eats with him, a sign of friendship and fellowship. Jesus is often talking about the kingdom of God as an invitation to a banquet, a party. Salvation is eating with Jesus at the feast which God is throwing, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And look at what Jesus says to Zacchaeus in verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house. Why? Because Jesus the Saviour has shown up there. Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Zacchaeus' climb down has long-term and practical consequences. He's transformed by this encounter with Jesus. In verse 8 he says, here and now I give away half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, and I think it's a safe bet he had on a considerable scale, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Zacchaeus stands in contrast to the rich ruler in chapter 18. He has been very sad when Jesus called him to give up his wealth. It seems he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. But Zacchaeus was glad. It turns out in the end he wasn't imprisoned by his stuff. Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. I suspect it's harder for them to humble themselves. They're tempted to depend on themselves and their wealth. But Jesus says that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Zacchaeus shows us that Jesus can save and transform the rich. Jesus can change the hardest heart. Levi becomes one of the apostles, a full-time professional Christian worker. Zacchaeus, I guess, stayed in Jericho. Maybe he became the only honest tax collector in the whole of Israel. And it's important to understand the order in this encounter. You can imagine that Jesus might have stood at that tree and said, "Ah, Zacchaeus, I've heard about you, and I've got a bone to pick with you. I might possibly consider coming to have a cup of tea in your house, but before that, you have certainly got to sort yourself out. You had better clean yourself up in a big way before I could possibly consider coming to you." But it's not like that, is it? Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. But he doesn't leave us as sinners. He calls us to repentance, to real change of heart and life, which expresses itself in action. Of course, we're always imperfect this side of heaven, but Jesus should make a radical difference to our lives. So Zacchaeus giving all that money away isn't the basis of his salvation. He doesn't pay off his debt to God and gain merit with Jesus. Rather, Zacchaeus giving that money away is a consequence of his salvation. His newfound generosity is evidence that Jesus has saved and changed him. It shows us that salvation has come to this house. Well, let's rejoice afresh in the mercy of Jesus to sinners like you and me. No one is too bad for Jesus. He came to seek and save the lost. He is a doctor who hangs out with those who know they are sin sick. And he is mighty to save and transform anyone who will entrust themselves to his care. It might seem impossible to us, but it's possible with God. Having met afresh with Jesus, may we live lives of transformed generosity for his name's sake. Amen.